Hi, and welcome back to Straight Shot Radio. We took a 2-year break as things really took off here at the studio, but we are back and we're ready to roll with our first episode of the year. My name is Johnny Slick, and I'm the founder and head coach here at Straight Shot Training, a personal training company that helps people of all fitness levels build strength and confidence with the help of focused and uplifting coaches. What you're about to hear was a Facebook Live that Coach Bruce and I did last week, and I thought I would share it with you as a podcast so it would be easier for you all to listen to on the go. Now, we do mention a free ebook a lot in the live chat, and I don't want you all to miss out on this. So if you go to straightshottraining.com/podcast and you find this episode, which is episode 151, you'll see a link to download the ebook right there. It's called Train Away Your Pain, and it's written by Straight Shot coach Bruce Carpenter, and is packed with insight, information, and workout programs to help you get out of pain and get back to training. Again, that's straightshottraining.com/podcast, and click the link in the episode's notes. All right, so in the spirit of respecting your time, let's dive right in.
There we go.
Bingo.
We're off.
All right, so if you're watching this archived, as in you're not watching it live, it might be a little weird as we're sitting here waiting for some people to come in. But you'll see a link in the comments. We'll keep referencing this to download your free copy of Coach Bruce's ebook. I'm watching us here. We're delayed. Don't look at the screen.
Oh, that's going to mess me up. I apologize. This is my first time going live on any form of social media.
Yeah, so I'll be moderating the comments here off of my laptop. But if you see Bruce's eyes glaze over, it's because he's trying to watch himself on a delay. So what's up, Dave? So it's been a while since I've done these live things. This is Bruce's first time doing a live. So what we like to do is we typically have a couple of questions that we are... Is that your dad?
That's my dad.
What's up? So we typically have a couple of questions that we start with, and then from there... Hey, Gloria. From there, we go into the questions that you all have for us. So if you have a fitness, nutrition, recovery question, any of that, go ahead and drop it in the comments. But we'll get started with our first two questions. The first one, somebody actually asked this here today at the studio. We told them we would answer it on this live, but they were wondering, does stretching help relieve soreness after a workout? Bruce, I'll let you take this one.
Oh, so I'll go the easy answer for this question. I would say yes, stretching is going to help relieve soreness after your workout. But I think our important thing to understand is the why. So when we stretch, we're going to increase our blood flow to our different muscle groups, and that is going to be what stimulates more recovery, more so than just the act of stretching by itself. So if you're looking for ways to reduce your soreness after working out, it's not just stretching, but it'll be any kind of activity where you can improve blood flow to that muscle group. I'll go through and add in that some post-workout recovery, like a protein shake with a little bit of carbs and good sleep, is going to help improve your recovery as well.
Yeah, so it's way better than doing nothing.
Just, yeah.
But it's if I had the choice of either sitting there and laying on my back and stretching my hamstring, if my hamstring was sore, or getting on a bike for 10 minutes, I would get on a bike for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Just me personally, because it's going to give me some blood flow. It's going to provide, obviously, some warmth to the muscle. It might potentially loosen it up. But if you're really, really, really sore, blood flow, warmth, getting some nutrients, like you were saying, protein and carbs, getting that into that muscle is going to be more helpful for you than just sitting there and stretching it. But your best bet is to do a little bit of all of it. So if you can work on some range of motion, work some range of motion. But I would say get warm first before you stretch.
A little bit of everything. Absolutely.
Yeah. Get warm first, then do some of those range of motion things. Hey, Melvin's here. So it's fun to see so many people. I miss you guys. A lot of you checking in here. I haven't seen in a long time. Our other question, and Bruce and I might have different answers on this one, one of my friends from college asked me last night on Facebook, how do I deal with sweets cravings? I'm craving something sweet. The question was, how do you beat a sweets craving?
Beat sweet cravings. Oh, okay. So I think the core of being able to try and beat a sweets craving is going to be moderation. So if you can plan out a diet or a nutrition phase where you've made some extra space for your sweets cravings, that'll probably be the most sustainable way to do it, rather than a kind of stoic approach of just ignoring them. Now, if you're looking for something a little more practical, I think we have a lot of opportunities in calorie-free sweeteners. So if you think about like diet sodas and stuff like that, that might be able to quench your sweet tooth in a pinch. Just beware of sugar-free gummy bears. They're not the answer.
If you're going to go with sugar-free gummy bears, just read the reviews on Amazon first, mm-hmm. and then you'll know. That's very in line. I typically take more of the stoic approach, which I know is not sustainable for most people. And most people would say that I have a diet that resembles like a serial killer. But for me, I don't have a problem just not eating. It's just deciding I'm not going to eat something. But when it comes to sweet stuff, I can just have a taste of it, because a lot of times if you're craving something, just because you're craving Sour Patch Kids doesn't mean you need to eat a bag.
I don't know.
But some people it does. So you know you. And I think that's the thing, is like, I know that I can eat 2 pieces of candy and be fine. Other people cannot open a bag of candy without finishing it. So it depends on where you're at. Like if, like Bruce said, you know, a full theater box of Sour Patch Kids is going to be 370 calories, and I think it's close to 100 carbs.
Pretty nice.
Right? So that's going to that's gonna be a lot of your carbs for a day if you're going to eat that entire box. For somebody who can eat a lot of carbs in a day, or, I mean, when we compete, I don't know about you, do you pound some sweet stuff on competition days?
I typically keep the Uncrustables.
Yeah.
The little Uncrustables, they're delicious. There's still tons of carbs. But on comp days, they bring your sugar right back up.
Yeah. So it definitely depends on your dietary needs, what moderation looks like to you and your diet. But when it comes to those cravings, the other options is to look at, why are you having those cravings in the first place? Are you actually craving that thing, or are you thirsty? Have you not eaten enough protein? Have you not eaten enough fiber? Typically, when we see people increase the amount of water they're drinking, increase the protein in their diet, and increase their fiber, they start to see sweets cravings less. So it's not something where you need to completely cut out sweets, or you might never completely battle the urge or never have the urge to eat sweets, but you can...
I don't know why I completely missed this. If you were really having a sweets craving, because this is part of what I do in the middle of the night to avoid mine, try taking down 2 scoops of protein. You go through for a double protein shake. After you finish the double protein shake, typically you don't want to consume anything else.
It's already kind of sweet. And that's
60 grams of protein. You pound 60 grams of protein, you will not desire sugar.
That is true. You're not gonna
desire anything.
At least
it works for me.
Actually, my roommates in college, we used to do chocolate protein in milk and then heat it up and have hot chocolate.
Something you can do sweet.
There's some good options. Like Bruce said, there's nothing wrong with Heather Miller says, ew, sugar-free gummy bears. honestly, in moderation, there's nothing wrong with non-nutritive sweeteners or what people call artificial sweeteners. You can definitely overdo it on those, and some people have some side effects of those. And again, it comes down to you. If those things cause you, undesirable issues, then don't do it. But a little bit of, a Diet Coke here and there is not going to explode your kidney. But again, the majority of the stuff that you drink should be water. Probably something's gonna have electrolytes in it, water, tea.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Shout out for Barb. Great work kicking Coke. Like Coca-Cola.
I wasn't sure. Either way, congrats.
It's been a long time. Great work.
Was that one of your clients?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, Barbara, if you're still watching, what was your secret? How did you kick the habit of drinking Coke? Did you replace Coke with something, or was it a different way that you found that you were able to beat that?
Because that's a tough one. I know some people who will go through a case of Coca-Cola a day.
The caffeine and the sugar together, oh,
yeah.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's so good.
It's kind of like a taste of a good Coca-Cola, though.
Yeah.
You guys will find out, you know, if you've watched these lives before, in the past when I did these, or if you watch any of the content we put out with Straight Shot, you know that we're big on moderation. We don't try to tell you to completely stop everything. There's only a couple of things we want you to stop completely, and that would be very unhealthy habits, like smoking or something.
Yeah.
That's not something we want you to do in moderation. But when it comes to food, we were just talking about this before the live, if it's poisonous, if you're allergic to it, or if it's spoiled, that's when a food is bad for you. Other than that, there are better and worse choices for your diet, and it's going to depend on you and your dietary needs. But that's something that we can help you. Rachel's here. We can help you with as coaches here as well. I see Chris says we barely fit on the screen. Here's the thing.
You know, it's a vertical frame.
We played around with trying and to go. We even had decorations on the side of the desk that you can't see. There's some plants.
We have plants. We're ready.
That's actually a full-size bush that Chris is holding. But because of the format, it tends to do better vertical videos. That's why we're squeezed in here. And Bruce and I did just absolutely smash some bench press and curls so that we could have a full pump. We're not normally this big.
We're working on it. Diet season has started. Hey, Dave's here. What's going on, Dave?
I see Jen.
Dave Montroy.
Man, a lot of your friends are checking in here. This is great. All right,
hey,
so
Jen,
question
going
from
on.
Stephen O'Connor.
It's almost like my second dad.
Gotcha. Okay. Stephen wants to know, what are your thoughts on Red Bull?
Oh my God! So that's probably more of an inside joke. Red Bull's amazing. I love. So there is actually more here aside from the joke. I used to work overnights at Home Depot.
Okay.
Agent Steve was my supervisor for a long time, and we use Red Bull a lot to keep working. Red Bull is a unique energy drink because it actually has less caffeine than your typical cup of coffee or your typical, what are the popular ones? Bang, Monster, C4.
Rain, yeah.
Yeah. All those have really high caffeine contents. And for most people, that's going to make you jittery. It's going to kind of push you over the edge. And it's less sustainable from an energy standpoint. Red Bull uses an additional ingredient, guarana, that helps boost your energy and make energy more readily available. So it keeps your caffeine content lower and increases the kind of impact that you get from less caffeine. So I'm a huge fan of Red Bull, and that is actually my number one, obviously, you know, but that is my number one go-to for energy drinks or energy beverages.
Are you a fan of sugar-free versus regular? I know some people are very, they'll only do the one.
So I'll typically go sugar-free.
Yeah.
If I'm splurging or if it's bulking season, then we can do regular sugar all we want. And then their last holiday flavor was pretty good.
And then are you doing the original 8.4 ounce or are you going the big boy?
So I'll do 12.
The 12, okay.
The 12.
So the thing I like about Red Bull in the smaller one, the original can, 8.4 ounce, is that it has 27 grams of sugar. Mm-hmm. A can of soda is going to have 45 to 50, depending on the soda. So it's going to have close to half of the sugar of a regular soda because the portion is controlled because it's only in 8 ounces. But obviously, you know, the sugar-free is going to have no sugar in it.
Incredible.
Tastes great. But yeah, so what is the caffeine in a Red Bull? Is it close to 80?
For the 8.4, it's going to be 80 milligrams of caffeine.
12 ounces is 111. Mm-hmm. 77, only 77 for the 8 ounce.
Oh, they must have dropped it.
Yeah, so that's less than a cup of coffee. So yeah, it's the caffeine is not crazy in those.
Mm-hmm. It is essential for those who are caffeine sensitive. Ooh, let's see, we got another question.
Oh, let me pull up here. It's way easier to see over here.
Oh. You have all the secrets of the Facebook Live.
I'll just ask. I'm still really curious about her kicking her Coke habit. So going down to, oh, what's up, Juliet? Thoughts on pre-workout supplements?
Oh, man. I have so many thoughts.
How many did you take an hour ago?
Today?
Yeah.
2.5 scoops.
2.5 scoops? Now, did you mix two different pre-workouts, or was it the same pre-workout?
I did two different pre-workouts.
Did you do one stim-free and one stimulant?
One is stim-free, okay. And then a scoop and a half of the one with stimulants. I try out... You've asked the perfect person for this. I've tried all of them. I worked at a supplement store. I sold them. They are mostly unnecessary, but they are a fun addition to your workout.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, if we're talking about just the core of a pre-workout supplement, what I would do would be a source of caffeine, really no more than a cup of coffee, or maybe a Red Bull. Red Bull stacks really nicely in our conversation. And then some kind of vasodilator. I'm a fan of arginine. Arginine works really well. And you can get these just from Amazon without having to sort through a million different types of pre-workouts. Because if you can get a little caffeine, a little stimulation, and vasodilation, which is going to improve your blood flow, that's really about all you need. And maybe some carbs to fuel your workout if you haven't had enough meals that day. Now, if we're just talking about fun pre-workout stuff. Right now, my favorite pre-workout is it's this stuff called Hyde, almost like Jekyll and Hyde. And they actually have a stimulant-free pre-workout that I've been using that has a number of different agents for mental focus. I would have to grab it to check which ingredients they are.
There's beta-alanine, which is a pH buffer, mm-hmm. and then there's citrulline, which is a vasodilator.
Which is another vasodilator.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, like you were saying, that's pretty much the only stuff that you need to look for in a pre-workout is... Something that's going to increase your blood flow and slightly increase your heart rate, which is going to be caffeine or some type of stimulant. And then some type of vasodilator, which you said it'd be arginine, or it could be citrulline, which I like citrulline a lot. You can buy citrulline off of bulksupplements.com. It's just a big bag of it. Mm-hmm. Heads up, it's from like citric acid, like a form of citric acid, so it's extremely sour.
It used to be the stuff that they put on warheads.
Yes, yeah. So
if you've ever had a sour warhead,
you've had citrulline malate.
Powder is citrulline malate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then beta-alanine, which is a pH buffer, and that's the stuff that gives you the tingles, mm-hmm. the pins and needles feeling. Now,
I love the
creatine that is in pre-workouts has nothing to do with the timing of it. Creatine is something that has to build up in your system. Everyone, most people, should be on 3 to 5 grams a day. All the time, forever, always. Mm-hmm. If you are a larger athlete, you could have more than that. If you are probably under, 120 pounds, probably 3 grams you can get away with. Mm-hmm. But that's not part of a pre-workout. They put it in pre-workouts, but it's not something that needs to be a part of a pre-workout because it's something that has to build up to a concentration dose in your body, and you continue to take that 3 to 5 mm-hmm. grams to maintain those concentration levels in your body. Vasodilators, those are acute acting ingredients. But opening up your blood vessels, you'll sweat some more.
You're gonna sweat.
You'll see some veins.
You're gonna feel a little pump. So the key when we get into a vasodilator, we want that extra blood flow to the muscle. Two reasons. One, blood is going to be what's delivering the energy and what we need to keep our muscles moving. But two, we want that blood flow and we want the pump that helps stimulate muscle growth after our workout. So especially if you're looking to build muscle, we're thinking about bodybuilders too here. We want to build muscle. We want to feel that muscle pump up with blood during your workout. So vasodilators help with that tremendously.
Yeah. But anytime anybody brings up supplements, I always want to know. You start reading this one here.
Yeah, this looks like a big one.
Yeah. This is Mama Slick. The big thing though is I don't like anyone to be using a supplement until they have their diet dialed in. You know, there are foods that you can eat that are vasodilators. There are ways to fuel your body by timing out, your carbs an hour and a half, hour leading up to your workouts. There are a lot of things you need to address with your diet prior to taking supplements. But once we figure that out, there's definitely some things that you can do when it comes to pre-workouts. However, if you look at the studied levels for like beta-alanine or citrulline, and what's a proven dosage for improving workout performance, 90% of supplements have about half of the studied effective dose.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those you get what you pay for ones. If you're buying a $20 Walmart pre-workout, you're buying Kool-Aid powder.
Yep. You're going to have to double and triple scoop.
Yep.
And then you're going to go crazy from caffeine.
By the way, I want to make sure that you all know that there's a link, if you see it's pinned here, to download Bruce's ebook. The first day that Bruce started working on that book, he came in here and was going to work out with us. We had an idea. We had the idea for the book. And so he's like, oh, cool. Yeah, let me get started on the outline. Dry scoops, meaning no water, dry scoops of pre-workout. We start lifting, go back. Bruce is just head down working on the book. I get back to working out, and Bailey comes out. She's like, hey, is Bruce going to lift? He just dry scooped a bunch of pre-workout. I was like, again? He already did.
It's that was the way it worked up.
So then
we need it for the fingers.
So then, but then you dry scooped one more and walked out.
Where was I going then?
I don't know, but you were white knuckling on the highway.
I was going somewhere. I had a lot of things to do. I needed a lot of energy. That's just how it works.
So if you enjoy the book, it's probably because Bruce wrote it while riding 600 milligrams of caffeine.
Something like that.
But again, so the studied safe levels are typically 400 milligrams per person. You got to understand that Bruce has more muscle mass than the average person. He can handle a little bit more. And everybody's different in your caffeine tolerance. So I would not recommend dry scooping three scoops of pre-workout.
So most people should never dry scoop pre-workout. You really should mix it with water. I drank plenty of water afterwards. You need the water to deliver it through your system.
That's smart.
So good notes.
Yeah, you have to be hydrated for that stuff to work. All right, so you had a chance to read through my mom's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just
so
for everybody, in case they haven't read it, says, I've got a rectus femoris strain. So rectus femoris is one of your quadricep muscles. The interesting thing about that quadricep muscle is it actually originates above your hip. It's the only quad that crosses over your hip joint. So rectus femoris strain caused by crazy exertion of picking cucumbers in the fall. What's the timeline for working back into a lower body workout? So that's kind of question one. Seems like I keep aggravating it and setbacks are keeping me from resuming routine workouts. So let's talk about timeline first, and then we'll talk about what are the strategies that we need to use to get back into working out without having those setbacks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's preface this with everyone is different, and I haven't seen this directly in front of me yet, so take any of my recommendations here with a grain of salt. They really do have to be finely tailored to the person. Now, if we're talking about a quad strain for right now, I think the best way to tell where your timeline is going to be is based on the amount of activity that you have currently. So if you can still perform all the regular daily activities that you do, they're just uncomfortable, it's going to be a much shorter time frame where I feel like you might be able to get back up to pain-free movement in 6 to 8 weeks. If it's more of a hindrance than that, if there's any daily activities that you can't do, then that's going to be a longer time frame, and I really have to see you in person so we can start sorting out exactly what to do. Now, when I go through, and you guys will find this in the book if you check it out, we take a multi-stage approach to going back into function. So the first portion of trying to restore function are going to be things that don't cause stress and strain to that muscle group. I go through and I've titled that section traction. So we want to try and improve blood flow through the region. One of the easiest ways to do this is to get you to hang upside down. Now, if we're talking about for a quad injury, for a leg injury, I would go through and start by using a resistance band and securing your ankle to a fixed point, like a squat rack. We actually just put up a blog about this. So
links right there.
There we go. You're on it. Reading my mind.
You keep rolling. I'll keep throwing the links.
Mm-hmm. And then we can start with light movement while you have a resistance band applying tension to expand the space in your leg. Okay, so that's kind of the first piece that I would approach. traction and light movement while you're in traction, and hopefully this shouldn't cause any kind of discomfort or any kind of pain. Our second step is going to be shortened range movements. So when we take a shortened range movement, this might be something as easy as walking backwards or being able to drag a sled, even working on a leg extension at a shortened range or squats at a shortened range that doesn't cause pain. Similar theme of what we've been talking about for most of the live is that blood flow stimulates everything that we're looking for, whether it's recovery or muscle growth or efficiency in the gym. We want more blood flow. And if we can get you to perform motions that don't cause pain to the strain in your quad, then we can improve blood flow to that quad and get it back up and running faster. Okay, so step one, traction. Step two, shortened range of motion. And then step three, we're looking at being able to reintroduce full range of motion exercises, but being able to make them easier. There's a concept called accommodating resistance. So if we were to use a resistance band, it's going to assist you through the motion. So if I anchored a resistance band to the top of a squat rack so that its resistance is going to help pull you up, we can get into the full depth of a squat, which is where I would approach a quad strain. Getting the full depth of the squat, the resistance band will help pull you out of the hardest portion of that motion, and then your strength and your quad are going to push you through the rest of it. So being able to make the hardest portion of full range of motion slightly easier so that we can build on it from there. So that would be my kind of three-step approach. After you're through those three steps, then we get right back into regular lifting, being able to load squats just like normal.
That was great.
That was a mouthful.
And the setbacks are tricky because a lot of times setbacks can come from retesting something too soon, resuming activities too soon. It's hard to know when because sometimes you're feeling good. All right, I've rested it. I've maybe done some of the traction stuff, maybe done some of the partial range of motion stuff. So I guess the tricky thing is when do you know when you're ready for those full range of motion movements, or when are you ready to actually load those movements again without having a setback? Because sometimes we have this kinesophobia where we're so guarded that we're going to re-injure ourselves again that we lock up and then we end up getting injured again. So do you have a metric that you like?
So it depends on the injury. Okay. It depends on what region. The thing that I really like the most is when we can complete kind of your set approach. So for me with my elbows, and this sounds ridiculous, but when my elbows are achy because I'm a big presser, I do a lot of bench press, I do a lot of overhead press, and I'm going to kind of rehab my elbows, I need to be able to complete the same exercise or the same routine about three or four times where it doesn't cause any additional pain afterwards. So I need to be able to really hammer in consistency without taking a step back, almost like the being able to hit a plateau of consistency. And then that's part of what tells me when I can move forward. So when you can complete, and in the book, the book really does, when I wrote it out, there's some good landmarks and ideas for what you want to be able to complete. If you can complete that same challenge about three times, recover from it, and not have a step back, then it's about time to step it up to the next level.
Yeah, even if after the first time you try an assisted squat or something, Marian's telling me to smile. I'm thinking, Marian. You just jumped in. I've been smiling and laughing for 27 minutes. So the tricky thing is you might perform an assisted squat and feel great and then think, okay, I'm ready to go test it. Like you said, perform it three times. That might mean if you're only doing that exercise once a week, 3 weeks of doing that regression prior to you testing the next progression in that. Mm-hmm. So I read an article for an online magazine called Breaking Muscle a long time ago. It was actually after a back injury that I had a long time ago, where I broke it into phases of, okay, here's how I'm going to build back. It's similar to the three phases that he had in his book. It was something that looked similar, but a little bit different the way I was approaching it. But one of the things I wrote down for myself was that I was not going to progress to the next thing until I'd done that phase for at least 5 weeks.
and I would see how I felt after 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it ended up taking me, 6 months to build back up. But then I never re-injured it because I figured out, what things I needed to do during that time. So, yeah, I would say when it comes to when you have setbacks and they're super frustrating, you feel like you're starting at zero. First thing I would say is that doesn't necessarily mean you're starting at zero. Pain is a signal telling your body, I don't like what you're doing. You need to change it up. We need to do something different. So sometimes that pain can just be saying, hey, let's go back a step. Doesn't mean you need to go back to square one. But sometimes it does. And when you do, mm-hmm. be patient with staying in whatever that phase is, whether it's you're working for traction or yep. you're working on partial range of motion or you're in the beginning stages of full range of motion prior to loading back up with weighted squats or something. I would say be patient and give each one of those phases 4 to sometimes 6 weeks if you need to, but at least mm-hmm. 3 to 4 times through a progression before you go on. So all the exercises that Bruce is talking about are in the book that he wrote. As we're getting ready to wrap things up here, the link that's in there is your free copy of it. Now, when you get to the page, so you click on that link right there, you just need to fill out your name, your email, and click download. And on the next page, there'll be the book right there. Just click it. That book's going to show up in your Google Drive. And you just hit the save button at the top. Really simple. Mm-hmm. If you're having trouble with it, let me know. But we try to make it as simple as possible. The reason why you do have to put your email in there is so we want to make sure that we can actually follow up with you. This is not just a book that Bruce is just going to give you and then just hope that you figure it out on your own. What we're hoping to do with this is actually open up a conversation between you and us about things exactly like we're talking about today. If you get this book and you have shoulder issue or a low back issue or a knee issue and you try some of the stuff in it and you have some questions or you want to know how to progress, obviously we can only help you so much if we're not your coach.
Virtually, exactly.
But we would love to talk to you more about what it is that you have going on. And if you need some of the concepts in the book to explain a little bit more, obviously Bruce knows what he's talking about. He wrote the book. He can tell you more about it. So when you get to that page, we're not going to spam you. This is not something like that. We do want to keep in contact with the people who are downloading this book because we want this to be a conversation between a coach who wrote the book and you as the person using it, which you don't get a lot whenever you're just downloading or just buying a book somewhere else, is actually being able to talk to someone about it, because the reason we put this out here is we want to be able to help as many as people as possible. We know that not everybody's in the Frederick area, not everybody's able to come in here and train with us, but that doesn't mean that we don't want to help you. So Bruce did an awesome job with this book. I'm really impressed with it. We had some fun putting it together. It's yours now, so you all can have it. If you have any questions, so we would love to do this more often. If we want to do this once a month, we are also going to be doing lives on Instagram. So mm-hmm. if you follow us on Instagram at Straight Shot Training, you're at coach_B_great.
Bingo.
If you want to follow Bruce over on Instagram as well. And that way, when we go live on Instagram, you can check it out there. But if you have any more questions or if there's some questions that are put in here after we sign off, Bruce Senior. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you,
thanks,
Bruce.
Thanks, Dad.
Original Bruce.
That is the OG.
Yes, the OG Bruce. So if you have any more questions or if you're watching this and it's archived and you throw questions in the comments, we will still see those and we can answer those in future lives. If you have a question for us that you maybe didn't want to post here, you want it to be anonymous, that's totally fine. Just shoot us a message and we won't use your name or anything when we share that. But Bruce, you have anything to add before we sign off?
Last little shout out. This is version one of the book. Maybe down the line we'll do a little version two. So I need feedback from you guys, and I'll reach out for feedback as you get through the book and as you try different pieces. It's an approach that I've used with a lot of clients over, I guess the last decade of my training career. But I want to be able to make sure that it is modified effectively for a wider audience. Yeah. So any feedback you have on the book, hit me with it. I would love to hear it, and we can make those changes for the next version.
Awesome. This was fun. We enjoyed having you all here. Thank you, everybody, for popping in here. Do you see somebody else you want to shout out?
It's just the last thing that that dry scooping sounds brutal. It is brutal. It's awful. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Unless you plan on doing three of them and writing a great book. Awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you around.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. As I mentioned before, you can download Train Away Your Pain via the link in the show notes over at straightshottraining.com/podcast. Now, heads up, we won't be doing weekly podcasts this year, but we will have another episode up before 2 years passes, I promise. You all have a great next workout, and I'll catch you next time.